So this patient has a diagnosis of Addison disease. I've seen it in older patients on NBME exams. Now, the increasing fatigue over the past year, that's actually due to the low cortisol component of Addison disease. Addison disease being low cortisol and low aldosterone. It's autoimmune deficiency, primary adrenal insufficiency, okay? But low cortisol causes chronic fatigue. And then we look at the electrolytes, and we would normally expect for low aldosterone, low sodium, high potassium, low bicarbonate. So you might be wondering why the fuck sodium is in the normal range and why bicarbonate is at the lower end of normal, but it's not actually low. I can tell you for probably about a third to 40% of aldosterone derangement questions, sodium will be in the normal range. Likely a mix of the fact that we have vasopressin as another mechanism to regulate sodium, and we also have aldosterone escape, particularly when aldosterone levels are high. I don't want to go into that mechanism right now, but the point you need to take away is that when you expect classic derangement for aldosterone and you see sodium in the normal range, don't be confused by that, okay? So just remember that potassium always goes the opposite direction of aldosterone. So in this case, aldosterone's low, makes sense, potassium's high. And then we normally expect sodium, bicarbonate, and pH to go the same direction as aldosterone. Now, we look at the eosinophils. You're probably wondering what the fuck that's about. Eosinophils can be elevated in Addison disease, okay? Sounds really weird. First time you're hearing about this, it's definitely a what the fuck detail. That's actually very high yield, particularly for step two level questions. And what they want you to do is to start chasing the stool ova and parasites, which is the wrong answer. Here, we're going to do the ACTH stimulation test. If we are to give synthetic ACTH, which is known as cosinetropin or synaclin, but the USMLE will write it as ACTH stimulation test, we expect our cortisol to go up. So if cortisol goes up marginally, it can increase in Addison disease, but very, very slightly. Whereas in someone without adrenal insufficiency, cortisol will increase robustly in response to ACTH. So if we were to give ACTH and cortisol barely goes up, we know that we have a diagnosis of adrenal insufficiency. Okay, so that's what we're going to do here. Some of the wrong answers, looking at dexamethasone suppression test. That's for the diagnosis of endogenous Cushing syndrome. This is actually a bit of a long discussion. I'll try to stay concise, which is simply stating that the most common cause of Cushing syndrome overall is exogenous steroids. Someone, let's say, with IBD, SLE, RA, someone with autoimmune disease, or let's say chronic asthma, who's going to be taking prednisone and they'll be Cushingoid. And their ACTH and their cortisol levels are both suppressed. Once again, that's a long discussion, but we would not be doing dexamethasone suppression test in those patients. We reserve the dexamethasone suppression test for endogenous causes of Cushing's, meaning the patient looks Cushingoid, looks like he or she has Cushing's, but is not taking corticosteroids. So if we give low-dose dexamethasone to start, that is a yes or no test. Someone who does not have Cushing syndrome, giving low-dose dexamethasone will suppress his or her cortisol. However, if someone does in fact have Cushing syndrome and you give low-dose dexamethasone, cortisol will not suppress. So low-dose dexamethasone does not tell us anything about the etiology of the Cushing syndrome. We don't know the cause of it. We just simply know yes or no. If cortisol does not suppress with low-dose dexamethasone, answer is yes, we have Cushing's. Don't know the cause, but yes, we have Cushing's. Then we go on a high-dose dexamethasone suppression test. The only thing that will suppress in response to high-dose dexamethasone when the patient has Cushing syndrome is Cushing disease, which refers to the ACTH secreting tumor of the anterior pituitary. That is Cushing disease. Cushing syndrome just means what the patient looks like. So the most common endogenous cause of Cushing syndrome, what the patient looks like, is Cushing disease, which is an ACTH secreting tumor of the anterior pituitary. And that's the only thing that will suppress in response to high dose dexamethasone. So if the patient does not get decreased cortisol with low dose dex, but does get a decrease in cortisol with high dose dex? Answer, Cushing disease, ACTH secreting tumor of anterior pituitary. If cortisol does not suppress with high dose dex, then we know our diagnosis for Cushing syndrome is either a small cell bronchogenic carcinoma secreting ectopic ACTH, or it's going to be a cortisol secreting tumor of the adrenal cortex or hyperplasia of the adrenal cortex. So we would simply just say, is the patient's ACTH level high? Yes. Answer is bronchogenic small cell carcinoma. If the patient's ACTH level is undetectable, we say, okay, that's going to be a cortisol secreting tumor or hyperplasia of the adrenal cortex. Long discussion, but that's concisely for you what dexamethasone suppression test is, which is for Cushing's, and it's not the answer here. Mitiripone test is weird. It's low yield. It's some obscure test classically that could be used for adrenal insufficiency. Mitiripone is an 11-beta hydroxylase inhibitor. Long story short is if you give that, cortisol levels are going to decrease. So if cortisol levels decrease, we expect ACTH to go up to compensate, and we expect to get the cortisol precursor 11-deoxycortisol. So if we suspect adrenal insufficiency and we give mitiripone and the patient's ACTH and or 11-deoxycortisol levels do not go up appreciably, we say, oh, okay, the patient does have adrenal insufficiency. If the ACTH went up but the 11-deoxycortisol didn't, that's going to be adrenal insufficiency primary. If the ACTH didn't go up, that would be secondary. Once again, stool, ova, and parasites, wrong answer. Eosinophils would be elevated in Helminth infections, but as we said, eosinophilia is a normal finding in adrenal insufficiency. And then decreased stool pH is an answer for lactose intolerance, okay? That's one of the ways you can diagnose it. So a patient with lactase deficiency, we can do decreased stool pH as one of our diagnostic modalities. We can also do a hydrogen breath test, okay? But that's what stool pH is referring to. So that's it.